Psalm 55, and the words of the 22nd verse are our text this morning. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want us to think of the theme of the burdens of the believer. The fact is, brethren and sisters, that Christians have burdens. And that is especially true of many in our congregation. Just at this time, I've mentioned to you a list of families associated with this church that have folk that are unwell, caring for folk that are unwell. And there's many other people with differing circumstances that are weighing down upon their hearts at this time. So Christians have burdens, and many Christians in this congregation have burdens just at this time. And I want to remind you that this is a world of burden bearing. And the burdens that we have to bear in life, even as God's people, sometimes those burdens can be many in number, and sometimes they can be very heavy as far as the weight of the burden or of the care that we have. And I remind you too that those burdens come from all aspects of life. Maybe the burden you have today comes from some situation in your home or in your family to do with a loved one. Maybe one not right with God, one that's far away from the Lord. Sometimes the burden comes from work and from business. Maybe a situation that you're facing, someone that's very difficult. Maybe the prospects or the outlook is not very good. As we've stressed already, sometimes the burdens come from sickness, infirmity, ill health, maybe that you have yourself, or maybe a member of your family that's very, very close and very, very dear to you. At times the burden comes from a bereavement, when there's been a death, a loved one taken away, the emptiness that leaves in your life, in your home, in days to come. And there's been so many in recent months in this church that have been bereaved. Think too of broken relationships. How heavy a burden that can be to bear. Even the work of God brings all its burdens with it. Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, spoke about the care of all the churches. He was thinking of every church under his oversight. And those in leadership positions will be able to tell you of the burdens, the cares that go even with one congregation, the oversight of one flock of God's people. So burdens come from all aspects of life, and I'm sure you can identify with one or maybe many of those areas that I have mentioned this morning. Just to point out from this psalm that David had a burden. The great man of God, the man after God's own heart, the man who was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And that fact, brethren and sisters, should encourage us all today. Sometimes we think of men like David, the great heroes of the faith that we read of in the Bible, that they lived in a different plane. We nearly think at times that they lived in an entirely different world. They lived in a glass case, that they didn't face all the trials, all the difficulties, all the problems of life that you and I have to face on a daily basis. But it's wrong to think like that. Doesn't the Bible remind us of Elijah? And what a man Elijah was, what a stand he took for God. But he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He could identify with every struggle of life that you and I have. And that is true of all of those men that we read of in the Word of God. So David had a burden. It came from a situation in his family, a situation in his kingdom. His own son Absalom, just think of that. His own son had rebelled against him. And his trusted friend and advisor, Ahithophel, had betrayed him. That's the context. That's the picture in which this psalm is written. That's the story that's behind it. David was a man who had been wounded in the house of his friends. So David had a burden. And I want to remind you of the things that you're tempted to do when you have a burden. Sometimes you're tempted to carry the burden yourself. Remember, we're not able to do that. We don't have the strength. Sometimes you're tempted to quit and you're tempted to give up. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. You want to give up. Like Peter, give up on the things of God and go way back and concentrate only on temporal and mundane things. Sometimes you're tempted to complain when the burdens weigh you down. You can complain about everything and complain about everybody. When you read the story of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel, who could complain? Who can murmur like God's people? And maybe that's what you've been doing. You've been directing all sorts of accusations and all sorts of comments in everybody else's direction. Sometimes you're tempted to run away when the burdens wear you down. Look at verse 6 of the psalm. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. There's always that thought, if I could only get away, if I could get away from this place, get away from these people, if I could only get away from these circumstances, there's that temptation, just like Jonah. And sometimes the spirit of Jonah is found in every one of us, and we want to run away from what the Lord's will for us might be. Sometimes there's the desire to die. Get to the point where you just don't want to live. The burden becomes so heavy, weighs you down so much. The circumstances become so difficult. The way ahead seems so dark and so bleak. You just don't want to live anymore. Many of God's most trusted servants have felt like that. Think of Elijah down there in the Negev desert, away down in the southern part of Israel, and he sat down under that juniper tree. You remember what his wish was? He wished for himself that he might die. Maybe that's how you feel in the house of God today. Sometimes as well you wish evil upon those that have caused you the trouble. If you think of verse 15 of the psalm, let death seize upon them. And sometimes that's what happens, even as Christians. We don't have the best of thoughts, the best of feelings, the best of desires towards others. We wish that something terrible, something awful might happen to that person. We think that would be a just recompense for the way that we feel that they have treated us. And I'm sure at some time you have been tempted to do one or maybe more of those things that I have just mentioned. Can I stress to you, brethren and sisters, that's what not to do when you're weighed down with life's burdens. What we have in our text, Psalm 55, verse 22, is what you should do with life's burdens. In fact, what God commands you to do with life's burdens. And if you have a heavy burden this morning, perhaps one that no one else, not another person in this world, knows anything about. If you have a heavy burden and you've been crushed today, that's just exactly how you feel. You've been crushed under the weight of that burden. Then I want you to see that this text of Scripture gives you the answer. It tells you what to do. It tells you how to cope. It tells you how to deal with those circumstances and to deal with that burden. So let's think a little of it. The burdens of the believers and how to deal with them. The first thing I want you to see in the text is to consider the burden as from the Lord. See what the text says, its opening words. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. The word burden there, it literally means a gift. If you have a Bible with a margin, as you read down the Scriptures, it's always good to refer to the alternative reading that's found in the margin. And the margin says that it's a gift. Cast thy gift upon the Lord, or literally, that which he hath given thee. Isn't that interesting that it's described in that way? You might think that very strange. But I wonder, did you ever see that truth before? That trial that you have, that disappointment that you've experienced, that loss that you have sustained, the difficulty and the challenge that you're facing, it is from the Lord. It's from his hand. His hand is in it. He's the one that has allowed it. He's the one that has permitted it to take place. It's not fate. It's not bad luck. It's not a curse. It's something that God in his infinite wisdom has bestowed upon you at this moment in your life and in your experience. And that, brethren and sisters, changes the situation completely. In fact, that should be our outlook at all times. That should change the way that we look at life as a whole. We have a sovereign God. We sang the words earlier, my Father planned it all. Now I know that automatically you will ask, if the Lord has allowed this and bestowed it, you will want to know the reason why. Can I say to you, men and women, we don't always have all the answers. I know for Christians it's hard to admit that. But remember, we don't. We don't always have all the answers to life's circumstances. The Lord doesn't always tell us the reason why he allows things to happen to us here in this world. There is a better question that we could ask whenever the trials come and the burdens are bearing us down. And that question is the question, what? What is it, Lord, that you want me to see? What is it that you want me to learn? What lesson is it that you have for me at this time in my life? But I want you to see the Lord doesn't always tell us the reason why. The scriptures tell us that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. God has revealed many things to us in his word. God has revealed all to us that we need to know for our life and our pilgrimage here in this world. But he hasn't revealed everything. There are things that are secrets. You have secrets that you don't tell others. And the Lord is just the same. There are secrets that he'll not reveal to us this side of eternity. Remember, Mr. McRae used to sing that lovely hymn, we'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason. And then he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The New Testament says that now, talking of this world, this life, we see through a glass darkly. The idea is that our vision isn't just as clear, our focus isn't just as clear as maybe we would want it to be while we're down here below. Do you remember those great words that the Savior spoke as the cross was approaching? And he was washing the feet of his disciples and he said to them, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Can I remind you of that? What the Lord's doing. You're maybe not going to know why it is down here in this world, but he says, you shall know hereafter. There's three great truths in that text of scripture. There's sovereignty, what I do. He's the sovereign God. None can say to him, what doest thou? There's mystery in that text. What I do, thou knowest not. There's some things we're not going to know while we're here in this world. And then there's eternity. Thou shalt know hereafter. What a blessing. What an education eternity's going to be. The old Puritans had a great way of summing up Bible truth. And they used to say you can't always trace the Lord. Remember putting the paper down, the tracing paper, and setting it over an image and taking the pencil and seeking to follow the lines. We can't always trace the Lord. We can't always follow what the Lord's doing with us in this world. But one thing's absolutely sure, men and women, we can always trust him, that he does all things well. We don't have all the answers. I can suggest to you this morning some reasons why the Lord might give you a heavy burden to bear. One is to do with your walk. Maybe you're not walking as close to the Lord as you should. In the Bible, Christians are likened to sheep. Sheep like to wander, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And the Lord wants to bring you back again to himself. And that burden that you're carrying, that burden the Lord has allowed, that has caused you to pray and caused you to cast yourself upon the Lord more than maybe you've done for many a long day and many a long year. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after the affliction or during the affliction, have I kept thy word. And perhaps, if you were honest, you were going astray in the Christian life. And that's the reason the Lord gave you that burden. Mr. Spurgeon said that anything that causes you to pray more is a blessing. It's not a burden. And that's how we should see it. So maybe that's why the Lord gave you the burden, because of your walk. Another reason is maybe because of your worth. As you know, I had a younger brother that died before his 18th birthday. Someone told my mother on one occasion, I think it was Professor Norman Nevin, that the Lord only gives disabled children to special people. That's a very interesting statement. He worked a lot, devoted his life to many of those types of illness. And he was a believer, a Christian doctor, a blood physician. Some may dispute that statement that he has made, but I know this for a fact, men and women. Can I impress this on your heart this morning? The Lord only gives burdens to special people. See, that burden that you have today, whatever it is, it indicates your worth, your value to the Lord. It reveals how precious you are in His sight. Remember, the burden that you have, it's a gift. You need to see that and always view it in that way. And the Lord is like you and I. He only gives gifts to those people that are special to Him. You think of birthday times and Christmas. Who do you give gifts to? Those that are special, precious to you. And the Lord's just the same. Why did the Lord allow the devil to afflict Job? Because he was special in the Lord's sight. He was one that feared God, one that eschewed evil. And the Lord could trust him in those very extreme circumstances. And isn't that, men and women, the teaching of the New Testament scriptures? It's whom the Lord loveth that he chasteneth. If the chastening hand of God in any way is upon your life today, and I know that's difficult, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. It's not what Paul taught in the book of Hebrews. It's difficult to be chastened, but look beyond the pain and see his love, because it's whom the Lord loveth that he chasteneth. Those are just two suggested reasons why the Lord might give you a burden. But can I say to you, men and women, that whatever the reason, remember this: all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Old Jacob in his circumstances lamented and cried out, "All these things are against me." But they're not against you, men and women. All these things are for you. They work together for good. Whatever reason the Lord has in allowing these circumstances and doing what he's doing in your life, you can be sure it's for your good, for your spiritual good, for your spiritual development and maturity and growth in the Christian life. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, said, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment." You may not think the burden too light today, but that's how he described it. That the burdens of this world are light, men and women. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it seems like you've an eternity. It seems you can't remember when it started, and it seems as if it's never going to end. But here's how you need to view it. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, not against us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you see the contrast in the text? The light affliction, the eternal weight of glory. It's but for a moment, the eternal. And that's how we need, brethren, and sit with the eye of faith to see things in our lives in the light of eternity. And I pray that you'll be enabled to do that this morning. That's the first thing. You cast your burden upon the Lord. You consider the burden as from the Lord. That's the second thing. You cast the burden on the Lord. That's what the text says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. As a child in the farm, many farmers in the meeting this morning, when I was growing up, I remember a lot of burdens to carry. There was buckets and barrels and milk cans and bags and bales. And as a child, as a young fellow, there was no thought of us sitting in the house when all the work was going on. You had to be out there. No matter how difficult that work may have been, and there was times those burdens were too heavy for me. Times I was beaten, couldn't carry it any further, needed someone else to come and carry it for me. More often than not, that person was my dad, my father, very strong man that he was. And the lesson's this, men and women: we can't, but he can. We can't carry the burdens, but our Heavenly Father can. And I want you to see that this morning. Get your eyes on the Lord. He's the Almighty. He's the one to whom all power belongs. The Lord God Omnipotent, what a word that is, no limits. Just ponder that, grasp it. No limits to the power of our God. You may feel weary today. You may feel exhausted. You may feel faint. No more strength. But remember, there's no limit, no exhausting of the strength and the power of our God. And the message of the psalmist here in this text is this: take your burden to the Lord, whatever that burden may be. That's what you need to do. He's the great burden bearer. He's the one, men and women, that upholds all things by the word of his power. Look out upon this vast universe, all the stars and all the planets, and he's upholding it by his word. Isn't that a marvelous thing, tremendous thing? So what is my little burden in comparison to what the Lord is doing, upholding this universe from moment to moment? You think of that great promise, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that how you feel today? Heavy laden, worn down with the burdens. Remember, that's a promise, men and women, to the saint as well as to the sinner. And the message of the Savior is, come. You need to come today to the Lord. Come to the Lord with your burden. Mr. Moody, one of the secrets of his life was he was a very diligent student of the Word. He had a wide margin Bible. As he studied the Bible from day to day, he wrote little comments in the margin. After he died, someone took his Bible and typed out all the notes, and they published it, the notes from the margin of D.L. Moody's Bible. It's a very profitable little study, full of little gems and nuggets from the Word. Beside Psalm 55, verse 22, he wrote that that word cast literally means to roll your burden onto the Lord. And isn't that what you do, men and women, with something that's too heavy to lift, too heavy to carry? You think of another way of moving it. And one of the ways you can move something that's heavy, too heavy to lift, is to roll it. When we were on the farm at the time of the ploughing and the preparing of the ground for the seed, they had to gather the stones. Not a very pleasant task. Sometimes very large stones would be pulled up by the plough, by the implements. Stones that were too heavy to lift, especially for one person. And you would roll the stone, maybe under the link box or under the digger bucket. Sometimes if my father wasn't looking, you might roll one or two into the shuck. But you'd roll the stones where you wanted them to go. And that's what you need to do, men and women. You see that burden? So heavy. You can't lift it, can't carry it anymore. You need to roll it. Roll the burden onto the Lord. How do you do that? Well, the answer is very simple. You do it by means of prayer. You need to pray about life's burdens. You need to pray about the trials, the troubles of life. You know, that's the reason why many Christians are always burdened. You ever meet a believer like that? Always burdened, no matter when you meet them. One of the reasons for that is they never pray about their burdens. Don't come to the prayer meeting. Now, one of the ways we can share our burdens in the prayer meeting, we encourage you to come. Think of Scriven's great hymn that we sang, "Are you weak and heavy laden? Are you cumbered with a load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. What are you to do? You're to take it to the Lord in prayer. Cast your burden upon the Lord." There's one other thing the text teaches us about what to do with life's burdens, and that is carry the burden with the Lord. Think of what the text says: cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Will you ponder that part of the text? Isn't that interesting? Do you know what it teaches us, brethren and sisters? The Lord doesn't say that he'll always take the burden away. Isn't that what Paul learned? The burden that he had with his health, his thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. Three times, persistently, he pleaded with the Lord to give him a healing touch. But the Lord didn't take the burden away. The Lord said to Paul, "My grace will be sufficient. You're going to have to live with it. I'm never going to take it from you. But what I'll do is I'll give you the grace and strength that you need to deal with it and to cope with it in every situation of life and in every day that you live." So the Lord doesn't always take the burdens away. That's what we want. That's what we expect. That's what we long for. That's what you're pleading for in the place of prayer. But here you learn there are times you still have to carry that burden. And maybe that's what the Lord wants you to do. Maybe that's the very lesson he wants you to learn this morning. Can I say to you, if that is the case, that there's no need to be afraid and there's no need to despair, because you won't have to do it on your own. You'll not have to do it in your own strength. You've tried that already and you've failed. Notice what the text actually says. He will sustain thee. And doesn't that make all the difference, men and women? He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power that is needed for this moment, for this time. Remember the great promise of Isaiah 41 verse 10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't there times when you're carrying a heavy weight, you're almost ready to fall. You're stumbling. You become weak. And maybe that's just where you're at this moment. Well, you think of that promise. I will uphold thee. The Lord's going to put his hand on you. He's going to hold you up. You're asking this morning, how can I go on? How can I face the future? How can I handle the problems? How can I face the hospital, that operation, that procedure? Well, here's the answer, men and women. The Lord's going to strengthen you. The Lord's going to help you. The Lord's going to hold you up right through that very experience. Remember the blessing given to the tribes of Israel, given twice in the Old Testament scriptures? Jacob gave it in Genesis 49 just before he died. Blessed the 12 tribes, his 12 sons. And then old Moses, before the Lord took him home to glory in the book of Deuteronomy, pronounced a blessing on the tribes for the second time. In the book of Deuteronomy, the blessing that's given to Asher, it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know the meaning of those words? Is that God will give you the strength that you need for whatever days you're passing through, to match the types of days that you're experiencing. He'll give you the strength that you need to bear the cross that you're carrying. He'll give you the strength you need, brethren and sisters, whatever your situation, whatever your trial, whatever your burden. And can I take that even a step further? Maybe even onto a higher plane again. Because the Lord may even carry you as well. Carry you through these difficult times. Henry Moorhouse, who was a friend of Mr. Moody's, he had a little disabled daughter called Minnie. One day come home, Moorhouse had bought a present for his wife, nicely packaged up, all wrapped. Whenever Minnie saw the present for her mother, she got very excited. She wanted to be involved in the presentation of the present. She said, Daddy, let me carry the present to Mommy. The mother was upstairs in the bedroom at the time. Well, Henry Moorhouse looked at his little girl in surprise and said, Minnie, you can't carry yourself. How are you going to carry this package all the way up the stairs to Mama? Well, she had it all worked out. She said, Papa, you give me the package and I will carry it. And then you can carry me. You can lift me up and carry me up the stairs. Children are quite cute, aren't they? Very, very sharp. And that's what happens sometimes in life, men and women. We carry the burden, but then he comes and he carries us. Didn't the Lord say, even to your old age, it's not a great promise, he's not just with us in youth or in middle age, even to your old age, I am he. Even to whore's hairs, H-O-A-R-A, or H-O-A-R, the white, the grey hairs, even to whore hairs, will I carry you? I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. What a promise that is. Take it to heart today, brethren and sisters. Remember the picture of the footprints of faith? The Christian looking back across the sands of their life, looking and they observed that the times of greatest trial, the valleys of greatest darkness, It seemed that there was only one set of footprints, and they wrongly, thinking of those times, thought that the Lord had left them, the Lord had forsaken them. And the Lord reminded them, "No, my child, those were the times I lifted you. Those are not your footprints. Those are mine. Those are the times that I carried you through all the burdens and trials of this life." So the Lord carries his people through. You be sure of that. Whatever it is that's on your heart today, however heavy that burden may be, he will carry you through as well, my brother, my sister. You be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. So here's what to do with life's burdens. Consider the burden is from the Lord. Cast that burden upon him, upon the Lord himself. And then sometimes we have to carry the burden, but we do it with the Lord, with his presence, with his help, and with his strength. Can I say this to you just in closing? The heaviest burden is the burden of sin. I wonder, is that your burden this morning? Some in the meeting still unsaved, still not right with God. Do you remember Pilgrim and John Bunyan's great story of Pilgrim's Progress? He had a burden of sin, a burden of his guilt, but he lost that burden, and there was only one place that he could lose it, and that was at the cross. And I want to urge you today, unsaved person, in our morning service, you need to get to the cross today. Get to the cross of Christ. And when you get to the cross, cast the burden of your sin upon the Lord. He's the great sin bearer, bore our sins to his own body to the tree. You cast the burden of your sin upon the Lord today and be saved. We're going to sing a hymn in closing that ties in with all of that. John Moore's great hymn, 4.